a NATO tinha sido constituída como
NATO was formed as a product of the Cold War to deal with the Soviet power, and contrary to what happened with the Warsaw Pact, which was diluted even before the Soviet Union, NATO is perpetuated and eventually becomes an instrument of Western power assertion, of American power globally, expanding its sphere of action after the Cold War.
Alarga as suas competências, alarga a sua esfera de ação depois da Guerra Fria.
A NATO esteve na Guerra de Angola. As armas.
NATO was involved in the Angolan War of Independence. The weapons used by the Portuguese Army and Air Force, great part of the sophisticated weapons used, came from NATO. At that time, although Portugal was a country with a fascist government, NATO, claiming to be advocate of liberties, was actually helping crush the revolt of the colonial people and giving a great contribution to the Portuguese army. It was helping Portugal, though in a disguised and secret form. For example, the napalm used was provided by NATO. Certain aircraft, helicopters, and more sophisticated weapons were provided by NATO. Even Uzi machine guns that were of Israel origin were used. Therefore, NATO and Israel were very close and still are.
A NATO e Israel estavam muito ligados e continuam, não é?
A NATO não existe para resolver problemas.
NATO does not exist to solve problems. NATO exists to ensure the imperialist strategy of the United States and the European Union. And therefore, if its strategy for imperial domination of peoples, domination of the states to ensure that their multinationals, their economic and financial groups can continue to grow and to dominate, if to accomplish this, it is necessary to make war. They send forth their mercenaries, their men from the CIA and others to set the stage, and then NATO, with its aircraft and warships, does the rest.
The Middle East, despite its small geographical area, contains the greatest amount of natural oil resources in the world. Consequently, buying cheap oil from and selling expensive arms to this region has always been the two main goals pursued by technology-producing countries. Developed nations that have the monopoly when it comes to state-of-the-art technology have employed different strategies and policies for reaching these two goals. The most important of these strategies has been the creation of conflict in the Islamic world. Unfortunately, their conflict-provoking schemes, provoking insignificant clashes to long-lasting wars, have almost always been successful. The turmoil in Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and other countries of the region is a direct result of the dividing strategies employed by technology-driven industrial nations.
The question of how wrong was colonial division made and failed to consider local populations, religious confluence, and the issue of energy resources, all this together powers several spots of conflict in that region. For example, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, in which we have Jerusalem, a city that is coveted by Christianity, Judaism and Islam, and religions that later materialize in states or political units or militias or fighting for influence in certain regions.
The Zionist regime of Israel has trampled the rights of Palestinians for more than 60 years by denying them the right to nationhood and attempting to wipe them out completely. Regional countries see Israel as a perpetual threat because of its militarized policies, its lack of respect for international treaties, and its possession of more than 400 nuclear warheads. This is a dangerous combination that has, ironically, accelerated the arms race in the Middle East region. And so, arms-producing countries like the US have made it their business to motivate countries of the region to purchase weaponry.
There are many conflicts in the Middle East, as you know. It's an area of great tension. It is, in today's world, a fundamental area for many, many important and essential issues relating to the security, peace and stability in the entire world. It is an area blocked by the so-called Israeli-Palestinian conflict, that you may call it the Israelo-Arab conflict. But in addition to that, it is absolutely essential for the affirmation of the European Union and its survivability. It is essential for relationship between the West and Russia. It is essential in issues such as energy security, non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, and many others.
One of the other strategies of the West in the Mideast region has been that of Iranophobia. This project came to be employed after the Islamic Revolution of Iran and has led to the formation of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. This union, which carried the alleged purpose of cooperating with Iran, was soon militarized. Thus, the Persian Gulf Defense Cooperation and increased the arms sales to the member countries. Similarly, in recent years, using Iran's peaceful nuclear technology program as an excuse, the West has tried to present a very menacingly military image of Iran and thus encourage regional governments to arm themselves against it.
If one nation is afraid of the other, of course, its tendency will be to try to protect itself. And the good thing is for the nation that is frightening the other to really make very clear that it's not interested in creating a problem in the area.
یکی از شگفت‌هایی که غرب داره دنبال می‌کنه در برابر جمهوری اسلامی ایران مسئله
One of the tactics employed by the West against the Islamic Republic of Iran has been the propagation of Iranophobia and an alleged claim that Iran is connected to terrorist groups and has been attempting to intervene in the affairs of other countries, especially in its neighborhood. The image of the Islamic Republic that has been projected by the West has constantly been that of a threat. This is despite the fact that in the past 3 decades, Iran has shown that it does not intend to intervene in other countries. On the basis of Iran's constitution, we are not allowed to intervene in the affairs of our neighboring countries. Our relationship with our neighbors has always been marked with respect, mutual trust, and non-intervention.
This policy adopted by the US is to thwart potential threats from Iran in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East. After all, it must be noted that Iran has never invaded any country in the recent 2 centuries. On the contrary, it was invaded in the 1980s by Iraq, a country fully supported by the US at that point in time. So it must be noted that Iran has never attacked any country. The fact is that the US aims to expand its hegemony in the Middle East in order to increase its influence in the field of energy.
Such policies employed by superpowers, especially the United States, have accelerated the arms race in the Middle East. The combination of ample oil revenues and the short-sightedness of oil-rich leaders in the Middle East have made it very easy for the West to sell weapons in the region. In the Middle East, Saudi Arabia has the steepest line graph in terms of arms expenditure, one that shows an increase of 14%. The country spends 9.3% of its GDP on its military, a figure that amounts to $67 billion and which puts it at the top of the list when it comes to military expenditure in relation to GDP. The UAE stands 15th on that list. Annually, it spends 4.7% of its GDP, which amounts to $19 billion, on its military. The military budgets of Iraq and Bahrain also spiked in the year 2013 as a result of civil conflict and unrest.
First of all, there is a lot of tension in the area. Secondly, most, if not all, the countries in the area are rich countries, so they can really spend without major problems.
SIPRI noted that between 2002 and 2011, arms sales among the top 100 companies grew by 51%. Arms producers are especially keyed on Latin America, the Middle East, and parts of Asia. Arms sales in Italy amounted to 500 million euros in the year 2004. This amount rose to 2.8 billion euros in 2010. That means Italy's arms sales saw an increase of 460% in 8 years. Rome's best customers are North African and Middle Eastern countries. Rosenbaron Export, the giant Russian arms-producing company, sold $13.2 billion worth of weapons, a number that has swelled 4 times more than the sales quota in 2001. The top 5 companies that profit the most from war are Raytheon, RTN, arms sales $22.5 billion. General Dynamics, GD, arms sales $23.8 billion. BAE Systems, arms sales $29.2 billion. Boeing, BA, arms sales $31.8 billion. And Lockheed Martin, LMT, arms sales $36.3 billion.
With a crisis like the one we are living in Portugal and other European countries, there's lack of money for pensions and retirement, to fight poverty and unemployment. But it does not lack to maintain strong military budgets, to keep buying weapons, keep sending men and arms for others' conflicts.
Sometimes we think, well, the United States left Iraq or Afghanistan, but where will be the next war? Where will they still make money with the wars? While there's hunger for profit, the arm business is the one that gives more money, is it not? While the spirit of wanting to make money anyhow, without scruples, there will be wars.
De qualquer modo, sem escrúpulos, haverá guerras.